Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Digitally Diverse. We have a wonderful designer, Becca Bolton, joining us. So thank you so much for joining us, Becca.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So yeah, I'd love for you to explain your career up to date. Give us an overview of how you've got to where you are.
Yeah, of course. So I'm a multidisciplinary designer based in the Northern Beaches, and I'm really passionate about good design and designing for good. I am a specialist in design and branding, in addition to doing, you know, spatial design, photography, and content creation. So that's kind of where the multidisciplinary aspect comes from. I guess I love partnering and empowering conscious challenger brands to break into a circular economy. So that is the foundation of who I am and where I'm at the moment. I've been emerging in the industry for the last 3-4 years. COVID definitely didn't help with entering and trying to get into the field, but taking a positive from that, I was able to launch my sole trader business and work as a freelancer. But now I am currently working at Enigma Communications, which is a creative agency, and they do media as well. I'm a part of the brand team, working as a brand designer, which is lots of fun, and it's keeping me very busy and keeping creative.
That's really interesting that you mentioned like COVID and how that's changed the way that you work, how that's impacted on your craft and how you work.
Look, COVID was a terrible time for everyone. There was a lot of negative impacts on the industry and everyone's lives. But as a positive person, I kind of took the opportunity to start a freelance business and just really teaching the ropes to myself as I went along. I graduated in the middle of COVID, which was really hard to immerse myself in the industry. They weren't really looking for any junior designers at the time. So that was a really big challenge that I faced. And towards the end of my degree, I was actually studying in Canada. I had a scholarship there to study and I had to come home, but I was determined to complete that final semester rather than repeating and extending my uni journey. So it was a really great opportunity to already work remotely with, you know, international time zones, working on projects collaboratively in a digital and online space. And that was something that was a great skill to learn and then bring into my freelance business when I started that up. So there was definitely pros and cons to it all, but it was a great journey to start, really. And it made me really force myself to connect with other people in the industry and collaborate and just get my foot off the ground. So COVID was definitely a challenge, but yeah, working remotely, it definitely has its perks.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's super interesting that you also mentioned that, like, you basically started your design journey while you were, you know, working remotely, studying remotely. So I guess in a way you might not know that much difference to like that way of working. And has that been a bit of a challenge trying to, you know, perhaps bring on older designers or onto your way of working? How have you found that?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think one of the main reasons why I wanted to be a part of an agency was I was missing that fundamental of collaborating within the team and, you know, feeling that energy and that hype in an office space and really bouncing off everyone's creative ideas. And I think that is definitely something in my industry in particular, when you're working remotely, that can be challenging at times. However, I do really like to put some incense on, have music in the background and get a creative flow. So there's definitely a balance in between. But that was something that was difficult, that, you know, physical interaction, that face-to-face, bit of an IDEO style approach to design. Yeah, and at times, you know, it's hard to stay motivated, especially when there's a fridge nearby, constantly wanting to snack.
Yes, I definitely feel you on that one. I think it's, it kind of like allowed everybody to figure out what balance they wanted when it came to their work-life balance, because everybody's different, right? And everyone's got different thought processes and different priorities in their workday. So, super, super good. Tell us a little bit about your current role and being back in agency life. How have you found that?
It's great. It's full of hype at the moment. Enigma did a rebrand at the end of last year, which I was really grateful to be part of and bring that to life with the team. They've got a great vision ahead of them, and you know, there's already a lot of momentum picking up. And I guess the whole brand positioning was creating real chemistry, which for me is a fundamental, you know, having projects and connecting with clients, it's about formulating a relationship and having that ongoing and open communication where there is that chemistry created. And I think that's been a really beautiful thing to be a part of Enigma and the journey so far, is just being able to kind of see how we connect with our clients and create that chemistry from the initial point of a briefing through to bringing this beautiful piece of work to life. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm currently in the brand team working with some incredible designers and an absolutely amazing creative director, Brad Stevens. He's definitely been a mentor of mine. Yeah, so it's been a great journey so far. I've been there for almost a year, and yeah, there's so much going on.
Yes, I know. I'm familiar with Enigma and the work they do. They're always churning out some really, really cool stuff. So yeah, especially having that that mentorship as well in that environment, you must be learning so, so much. Really influential people come through their doors. So yeah, I'd also love to kind of touch on, you know, you did a semester overseas, tell us about like your education journey. Like, where would you do that again? Like, how did you find your university journey?
Challenging. I would say challenging in the sense of the pressures of societal norms. So right. I felt graduating from, you know, the high school certificate from school, going straight into a degree, it didn't sit right with me. And, you know, I'm trying to decide what degree do I want to do? And my dad was great. He was very supportive in the sense of helping direct me with what he thought I would be good at. And during school, every subject that I did was creative. People kind of said that I was a bit crazy in the sense of doing three major works for the HSC. But it was well worth it.
It just gives me like PTSD a little bit. I'm just like, oh, I never want to do that again.
Yeah, I definitely do not miss school. But it gives you grounding and fundamentals and understand who you are a little bit. So I decided to take a gap year. And that was probably the best decision I made for myself. And I would strongly encourage anyone to do this coming out of school, because it really gets you thinking about who you are as a person, start being inspired with what's around you, and just explore. There's so many opportunities out there. So I got accepted into UNSW for a Bachelor of Design, which I accepted, and then I deferred for a year. So I did my gap year, came back feeling ready to go. And there was definitely a lot of nerves, you know, after traveling for so long and getting into a rhythm of studying again and really just applying yourself to academics, which was a big concern of family. And I guess that was a pressure that, you know, I had to face. But I'm so glad I did it because I felt inspired. However, the first year, you know, they teach you kind of creative thinking, the fundamentals of how to conceptually ideate ideas. And then they're like, okay, now it's time to choose the field or the stream you want to go down. And there's so many areas. And for me, being multidisciplinary, I was like, how am I supposed to decide this? You know, I love interior design. I love photography. I love graphics. I love fashion, jewelry. I'm like, why do I have to decide this now? And so I deferred again. And I did a lot of internships in these different industries to give a taste of what that would feel like to be within that sector, and did that sit with me? Did it align? And that was probably the best thing that I did, because when I came back to uni, I felt purposeful, more motivated than ever. My My grades ended up exceeding and accelerating. I ended up getting deans listed for the last 2 years. And I think if I didn't take that time and that discovery phase, maybe I wouldn't have been in the right field, or maybe I would have been questioning, why did I do this degree? And that has been a really interesting journey, but I'm so glad that I took that approach.
No, that's great. Like, I think, yeah, you're right. In the moment, deferring, it seems like such a daunting prospect. You're scared that it's not going to, you know, get you any further. You're scared that you're going to be wasting time. But I feel like taking gap years, I'm a big advocate for that. And yeah, deferring full stop if you're not 100% sure. Uni is a lot of money now. Like,
it is. Everyone forgets about that.
Yeah. Like, why should you be doing classes when you're not 100% sure if it's going to be relevant to where you want to be heading? So, yeah, good for you for giving yourself that space to take a pause and just reevaluate what where you see yourself heading. And you're right. When people have that alignment in where they want to go, it makes all the difference. They just smash it out of the park, which is obviously what you did. So, no, that's great. Exactly. But yeah, you're right. Like, you do learn so much in design thinking and just like maturing as a person. Exactly. I feel like that's,
you're so young.
Yeah. Coming straight out of school, you don't have the confidence to question people and dig a little bit deeper, which is a huge part of design. So yeah, exactly. I think it's super important to, you know, build up those soft skills before you even start studying. Exactly. So
yes, and just enjoy yourself, you know. There's so much to see and you're young, and why not? Mm-hmm. Like, we have so much time, and I think that's what a lot of people forget. It's just like, slow down a little bit. We're, you know, always in such a rush in this society to just go, go, go.
Mm-hmm. And to, yeah, get started with adulting ASAP. And I'm like, there's other ways to do that.
Yeah. I'm still like, how do you do that?
Yeah. I think everyone's still trying to figure that out.
Do we know? I think it's more just fake it till you make it.
Given that you are a woman in the design and tech industry, how have you found that so far? And can you see any changes happening in the future?
I've definitely noticed a shift that's happening in creative industries. One of the things that I really love about being a part of Enigma is the company is founded by Lisa. And she's a power woman in the creative industry, and it's very inspirational. I did a bit of a deep dive into research and saw that only 10% globally of creative industries are founded by females. And I was horrified. So that, I guess, is a big underlying drive for me to, you know, help get creatives in the industry and really immerse yourself and empower each other. And I think, yeah, being a part of Enigma with an amazing leader like Lisa, it's a great foundation to see this kind of movement happening and this shift. And it's changing, but I think the more we talk about it, the more that, you know, we can help and support each other in this industry, because it's a fun industry and we have lots of ideas, no matter if we're, you know, male or female. Mm-hmm. So yeah, once I saw that stat, that was a big moment where I was like, no, we've got to encourage this more.
Yeah, and figure out initiatives to get more people on board. And representation is a huge driver. I think if we as women see other women in leadership roles, that's only just going to encourage more people to become involved and see themselves in that role one day. So yeah, I think power to Lisa. Let's get more women into leadership and then get that representation up there for the younger people coming through and studying and wanting to get more into the industry too.
Exactly.
What kind of compelled you to, like, obviously you have such a big passion for design and all the facets of that, but what kind of made you want to focus on like the technology and like the agency and branding side of design?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a role of a designer, you have to have considered design, and you have that responsibility to create a community and culture filled with good design. And I think that's something that has been lacking quite a lot And so I love brands. I've always loved brands. As a consumer, I'm looking at packaging, I'm looking at the design, and that's how I purchase. And so it was a bit of a no-brainer for me, because the way I valued brands and how I would purchase products was through, you know, is it sustainable? Is it considered packaging? Is it considered design? And so that's what really drew me into brand, and wanting to be a part of this movement of creating really good designs that will benefit culture and empower society for good. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, this generation has a lot of passion and opportunities, and especially in such a digital space, so many resources to educate yourself and to also have a voice. And I really wanted to be a part of that movement and not be afraid of, you know, where my ideas would come from and where that would take challenger brands. And I think that's a real rise that's happening in society, especially in the design industry, where you see a bit of going against the grain, testing the norms, because, you know, we have the capability to craft our environments, our world, and how we want it. And we, you know, in design, we're always producing something. So you may as well produce it the correct way. Yeah, because I don't want to be causing, you know, harmful design or unconsidered approaches that leave a negative impact on this planet. You know, people and planet mm-hmm. for me are the fundamentals, and it comes down to human-centric design.
People probably don't want to admit that they really look at packaging and really look at branding. People think they're making a decision because they want that particular item, but it really does have a really complex background to it, doesn't it? Like, there must be so much testing and so much research that goes into, like, your side of design that people just have no idea about. It's such a multifaceted discipline, isn't it?
It really is, but I love it. I'm so passionate about it. And I think the strategy and the research phase, and even the psychology behind how people think and how people consume, and really identifying what that is and how we can approach it to align with a better world. I think that's the root and the exciting part of the design process for me.
When was the first time that you really fell in love with, like, branding and were really sure that's the direction you wanted to head in?
Yeah, I think a pivotal moment for me was when I was working at Splice Boutique. They are a fashion boutique in Newport in the Northern Beaches. Beautiful team, loved working there. And I started to really look more into brands, obviously being surrounded by it. And the way that, you know, they would source their products and curate their boutique was from, you know, Australian designers, Australian made. And then I was like, oh, hang on, I could be a part of this movement and supporting, you know, Australian designers. And the team sent me to an event in 2019 called the Situ Living Event in Sydney Harbour as a representative for Splice. And they held an event panel of leading Australian female creatives and experts in design. So it was Tash Sefton, Deb Bibby, Poppy O'Neill, and more. And they were there to discuss fashion, arts, interior, and design. And that was a big moment for me, because being in a room surrounded by influential creatives while looking at the vista of, you know, our iconic Sydney Harbour, I was invigorated with a spark that I had this career aspiration of, I want to be empowering others and talking about design and educating and empowering other people in a room. And that was the moment when I knew that I wanted to be a designer, not only just for brand, but multidisciplinary, and just lead that movement in Australia.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, I guess one of the best things about being a designer in the brand space would be you can interact and empower all of these other designers by your skills just in branding. So yeah, that's super cool that you're, like, how you figured out where you want to be heading is actually just being around a bunch of other smart people and wanting to empower them and help them.
At the time I didn't realize, but it was probably a week later, I was like, oh, that was the moment.
Don't even realize when it's happening.
No, not at all. That was such a great event to be a part of too.
Yeah, awesome. And I mean, I guess we kind of touched a little bit before on like your university journey, but what advice do you want to give to like students who are wanting to start a career in tech or design? Is there anything that you would recommend?
Yeah, I think intuition. Listen to your gut. Understand as a person what you love doing. I'm a strong believer of the Japanese philosophy ikigai, which means how to live a long and happy life with purpose. It's a great book. Highly recommend. You can get it from Kmart. It's $12.
Amazing.
And I think that's the real core of figuring out, you know, what career path you want to take. And then when you're on that journey as well, I think the moment that you're in your comfort zone, it's the moment you limit yourself from being the best version of you. And that's something that I will always check in with myself. Am I too comfortable? Am I saying, you know, no to too many opportunities? Say yes. I mean, where it's appropriate, but, you know, say yes to opportunities, jump for it, really immerse yourself and integrate with others and connect. I think co-creation and, you know, networking is fundamental, and it really helps you, you know, get your career journey going and be inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, design at its core is connecting people with ideas and helping other people. So whether it's like helping them make decisions or helping in in speech marks there, or it's, you know, making things more accessible. So yeah, I feel like that connection piece is so important. And people become designers to help others at the end of the day. So yeah, I think exactly. that's super important to kind of keep that as your North Star, which you obviously have. And is that kind of like what motivates you and inspires you when you're working on your craft? Or is there anything in particular that really keeps you going?
Yeah, people for sure. I'm constantly inspired by, you know, others that surround me and really interested into how they come up with ideas or their stories, where they come from. That's definitely something that motivates me and I can gain inspiration from. I love the ocean. I love coastal walks. I love being in nature, going for hikes. I'm an adrenaline seeker and travel lover as well. So I gain a lot of inspiration from my surroundings. So you know, even if I'm feeling a little stumped, I'll go for a walk or go for a swim or, you know, take photos of landscapes and try and have a new lens on and have a different perspective. Yeah, so I think those are the key things. And also keeping my finger on the pulse with what other creative industries are doing, you know, within Australia, but also internationally.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think just keeping a wide view lens sometimes is all that you need to do. Like if you zoom in too far on something, it can become all consuming. So yeah, I like that sometimes you just have to take yourself out of that situation, right? So yeah that's
step
great.
Back take a moment, definitely. Have a coffee.
Yes. Yes. So Becca, what kind of speed bumps have you faced so far, and how has that kind of shaped where you see yourself heading next?
I think, as I touched before, definitely COVID. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. That was the biggest speed bump for me, but also imposter syndrome. I think that can be a big player, especially as a creative, really questioning your ideas and is it good enough or is it up to standard or there's better ideas, and comparison as well. I think comparison is killer, and really kind of learning how to take on constructive feedback and not take it personally. That was also something that was a bit of a speed bump for me because I care so much about what people think. I'm a bit of a people pleaser. So when someone didn't like an idea, I'm like, oh no. So it's really, you know, detaching from that, stepping away and being like, no, this is good. This is constructive. This is how we get to a great idea. There's no right or wrong. It's just stepping stones. So I think understanding those fundamentals were a journey for me, but also, yeah, COVID, that didn't help at all getting into the industry. But that's, you know, when you start taking initiative. When I felt very, very stumped and I couldn't get into any agency, I felt a bit defeated. I was like, well, this isn't personal, you know, it's a part of what's happening in society at the moment. We're going through a really difficult time in a pandemic. But that's when I decided to start connecting to kind of get out of that slump. So I took an initiative to create a community campaign from Mona Vale to Palm Beach. And I wanted to support, you know, our local community, other creatives, other boutiques and shops that were really struggling during this time. And from that, it was really great because I was able to connect with them, really network and meet people nearby and have that support. And then from that, opportunities opened up. So that's what I feel got me out of my slump.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to go about it. And it's something that I talk about with a lot of designers who are, you know, feeling like a lot of doors are being closed on them. Like, how can you get out in the community right now? How can you be of service to those that, you know, other small businesses like boutiques and shops, you know, a lot of these, you know, really small mom and pop shops who don't necessarily have the ability to go and hire a designer full time. How can you be helping exactly. out your local community? It's super important. And that looks, A, it looks really great on the CV, and B, you're connecting with the people around you. And I think that was put into more focus during COVID as well.
Yeah.
It allowed people to connect with lots of different people online, but it also made you focus on your local little bubble. So, yeah, that's exactly. really cool that you relied on them and tried to help them out too.
Yeah, I think, you know, big believer of giving back. And if you can support your community, I think that's a great way of doing it. And I agree, you know, COVID was a time where we all realized how deeply fundamental human connection is. And that was a, you know, an eye-opening situation to be in. So yeah, it was almost, you know, empowering to be able to have that realization and start sourcing local.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah. And especially like with the first, almost like the foundation part of your career as well, to have that as one of the building blocks, I feel like you would have learned so much that other senior designers probably it would be like a foreign concept to them if they've just jumped straight into a big agency first thing. So yeah, I think it's a good thing for you to have in your back pocket for sure.
Yeah, that's a good stepping stone. There was definitely some hardships though. It's not all smiles.
I can imagine. Yes. You've got to grind. But exactly. I guess in that vein, is there anything that you do regularly for like your productivity or like to motivate you? I know that you love to be out in nature. Is there anything else that you do?
Yeah, I'm a big believer of rituals. I kind of revisit and craft it at the beginning of, you know, every new year and say, is this aligning with my day to day? I have a list of what brings me happiness or joy. And I will look at that often and be like, am I doing this in my weekly routine? And, you know, it could even be as simple as going to a cafe for a morning coffee. I love it. Or having a candlelit shower. You know, why save it for a bath? I mean, it's too hot in summer anyway. Yeah. And then, you know, when you have those moments to do your skincare, which I love, just really taking the time to give back to yourself and take a moment for you and having a bit of a breath. And things that I do love doing as well is surfing. I think that's a great way to just connect with nature and have some time to just relax and unwind, but also have some fun. I think that's so important.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just have fun.
Love that. So that takes up most of your spare time then?
Definitely. And sleep. I love sleep. And I think we're all coming to know that how important it is. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, on the side, I'm an adventure seeker too. I love traveling and landscape photography. Originally, when a part of my deferral with uni, I went to Queensland for a little bit and I was mentored by a natural history photographer, James Doyle, which is an amazing opportunity. Yeah, he used to work for Sir David Attenborough. So that passion still very much lies with me, but I didn't want that to be work. So when I can, I love going away for weekends. I'm actually going away today to a cabin. Yeah, it's called Unyoked. If you haven't heard of it or been there, they're a really great company where they do eco cabins in really picturesque places in New South Wales and in Queensland. So I do love being able to get away when I can.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. And I feel like there's similar vibe going around with keeping your hobbies and your work separate. I feel like the last maybe like 10, 15 years, so many people were like, oh, if you have a hobby, you need to turn it into your side hustle. And now I feel like everyone's kind of pulling away from that notion because you want to keep those two things separate. To keep it fun. So is that kind of the thought process behind keeping your photography separate to your work?
Definitely. You know, I didn't want to be forced to take photos. I felt that, I mean, it's very different from, you know, creating ideas for a brand and getting a brief. But I think with photography, it really just makes you hone in and focus on, oh, I really need to get this shot. As for me, the whole purpose of why I take photos is because I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. I want to capture this for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I wanted to keep it as a hobby.
Yes. No, I totally get that. For me personally, for the longest time, I've been obsessed. Like, I make a lot of my own clothes and I love to sew. And amazing. It's the same thing with me. So many people would be like, oh, you should sell this, you should do this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be forced to do this. I love doing this because it's something that I do for my self-care. It's a hobby. I don't want to be paid for this because that'll take the fun out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes the essence and the playfulness. Do you wear your clothes?
Yeah. Yep. I love it. I think it's just such a fun way. It's like a puzzle. You get to put everything together and you learn something every time you craft something, which I'm sure goes with every aspect of design. You make things more efficient every time that you practice it. So I love that aspect of it. But yeah, I think you mentioned your photography mentor. Is there any other like mentors or business leaders that inspire you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Brad Stevens, who's the creative director at Enigma, I work very closely with him and I'm constantly inspired and mentored by him every day. So thank you, Brad. but also David Gowdy, he's the founder of Blue Swimmer Group, which is also a design agency in the Northern Beaches. And I used to play touch football with him, funnily enough. So he really, he took me under his wing during COVID and mentored me and helped give me projects here and there and gave me so much insight and advice and encouraged me to really, you know, see how I'd go in an agency because it's so much fun and there's a lot of culture in it. And that's something, you know, that was lacking when I was working from home. Mm-hmm. So David and I, you know, we would constantly catch up for walks and coffee along the coast and chat about my progress and hear about, you know, projects that he's up to and just be inspired about his journey and his career as well. Mm-hmm. And then my first actual design job was contract work with Vince Frost, who's the founder of Frost Collective, which is another agency in Sydney. Vince and I got along so well, and I had so many amazing projects that I got to work on with him that were really meaningful projects as well, like Kylie Kwong's restaurant, Lucky Kwong, and, you know, even a movement like BYO Cup Week, which was bringing your own cup for a whole week, which initially started in Bondi but then rolled out to the Northern Beaches. It was such a great movement to be a part of because, let's be real, how many coffees do we have a day and how much landfill is there because of that? So it was really great, being mentored by him. They all inspire me to this day.
Amazing. I love that. And, it's so important to find people who align with you and can encourage you. And, I hope that with that, you are then able to, you know, if/when you become a lead designer or own your own business, like you're able to give back to the newbies when they come on the scene, and you just got to keep that rolling. I think that's so important.
Exactly. Always giving back. And I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to mentor. And if it was, you know, one thing that I could say to someone as a creative entering into the industry, it would be get a mentor. have a mentor, yes. Find someone that you can learn from. It's so important.
Even if it's just like a coffee once a month, or it doesn't necessarily have to be like a formal thing, but just someone that's in your corner that you can bounce things off. And yeah, just if you do have questions or you're unsure about something, like just be able to lean on them for support, because it's not all smooth sailing and you do have things that bump up. And so yeah, I think that's super important. Given that you are on this lovely podcast, is there any other podcasts that you like to listen to, or something, some podcasts or books or audiobooks that you love?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, talking about Vince Frost, he has a wonderful podcast that's based in design and architecture, which is called Design Your Life. So that's very design orientated for me. And then, you know, from a business perspective, Victoria Devine, she's on the money. Amazing.
Love that one.
Do you know her? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Her books. I am a huge stan. Yes.
I guess for something that's more self-help or just understanding who we are as humans, is Jay Shetty's podcast On Purpose. It's really great. It's something to just, you know, go for a walk and have and listen to and understand a little bit more about who we are, where we come from, how we respond to things. Yeah, I mean, human psychology really interests me, especially in design. So those are probably my three best podcasts. Mm-hmm.
Love that. Yeah. And a broad range too. We love to see that.
Yeah. Got to have a mix.
Becca, if you could give yourself, your younger self, some advice, what would it be?
I think for me, it would be take your time to discover you and the world and be inspired by it, grow, take learnings from it, try different career paths, have internships, and listen to your gut. Mm-hmm. It is often, if not always, right. And that's something that I've learned, especially over the last couple of years, is just go with your gut feeling. And as well, you know, keep experimenting and working speculatively in order to, yeah, learn and explore and understand this interrelationship between design, you, and that form of practice.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Thank you so much for joining us. I learned a lot, and I just want to thank you again for joining, because yeah, you're a wealth of knowledge and you've tried so many things in design already, and I can't wait to see where you head next.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed being here today with you. It's been lots of fun. It's made me really reflect on my journey so far, which I haven't thought about in a little while, so it's good to have a bit of a check-in.
I love that. Yes, we all need to do that. So yeah, I can't wait to check in again, perhaps in a few years, and we can see what you're up to next.